Hello, everyone. This is Kat Caldwell, and you're listening to Pencils and Lipstick. This is episode 220, and this is an interview episode. And if you're watching on YouTube, I'm sorry for the lighting. It's really dark today. It's raining, and it's crazy. And I haven't figured out the lighting. If anyone's a producer, let me know. Lighting expert, whatever. If you're listening, well, you know. At least I have a voice. We're going into spring and we're leaving behind flu season and laryngitis season, which is awesome. Today I have an interview with Joy E. Halds. I wanted to talk to her because she has a really awesome product for writers. She's a writer herself. She's been writing for years. She has a passion for writer wellness, which is really fun to talk to her about because I also am very passionate about us getting up and moving around. I think that it feeds our creativity. So we actually had a lot to talk about, but I want you also to know that there is a wonderful product out there that is centered around the writing craft as well as feeding your writing wellness, and that is called the Write Day Subscription Box, which is a bi-monthly subscription box. And no, I'm not an affiliate. I just think it's cool. Curated specifically for writers. And Joy is going to tell us about it, how she came up with the idea, and what's in the boxes. After we recorded, we actually kept talking about the books that she has put in there. And I ordered a couple of the books and have really enjoyed the books that she had in past boxes. And so I am really curious about this My Write Day subscription box. Unfortunately, my birthday's not until the fall, so my husband has it on his list of things that he can get me if he, you know, is listening. Just that's a reminder, honey. But if you have a writer in your life or if you want to treat yourself, I suggest you go check it out, joyeheld.com. Of course, the links are in the show notes below. As we go into the quarter two, I almost said quarter three. Oh my gosh, no, quarter two. I have wonderful interviews coming up. If you would subscribe and share the podcast, it would really help me because it gets new ears on the show. You can subscribe to my newsletter for writers and newsletter for readers. Those links are always in the show notes. And if you're not subscribed, I don't know what you're doing because every week I send out tips and writing ideas and books that I'm reading and all the things. And of course, if you want to know what books I'm coming out with next, you need to get on my reader newsletter. I also want to hear from you. Who do you guys want to hear from? Who do you want me to interview? You can contact me on X. I always want to say Twitter X. Oh, what a terrible name. Anyway, X at Pencils Lipstick. There's no and because X won't let me have the and. Whatever. It's fine. You can also contact me on Instagram. That's Pencils and Lipstick, all spelled out, or catcaldwell.author on Instagram as well. I want to hear who you want to hear from. Does that make sense? That is a line I would edit if I was editing my book. Anyway, without further ado, you know, hit subscribe, give a review if you haven't reviewed the podcast. And if this is your hate listen, don't review it. But if this is a listen that you like listening to, review it. We always need reviews, and share it with those that you love, the writers that you love. Okay, now without further ado, let's get into the interview with Joy E. Halds. All right, everyone, welcome back to Pencils and Lipstick. Today I have with me Joy E. Halds. I'm very excited to talk to her about writing, but also about her My Write Day subscription box. My Write Day is a subscription box program that delivers curated products from authors, creators, and small businesses to writers and readers in the U.S. It's unique in that many products are sourced from writers who are also crafters and artisans. That is very cool. Each bi-monthly box delivers a writing craft book of the month and 3 to 7 items associated with the key concepts, journaling, fitness, relaxation, nutrition, and creative play of writer's wellness, her flagship program and book. Welcome, Joy E. Halds, to Pencils and Lipstick.
Hi, Kat. Wonderful to be here. Thanks for the invite. Thank you so much.
I'm so excited to talk to you because you have such a different business concept. As well as being a writer and an editor and a teacher of writing, you've started this the subscription box, which, as we've talked about, is a little bit different than any other subscription box out there. But before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about you and hear a little bit about how you came into writing. So when did you become a writer, a journaler, a person fascinated with storytelling?
We have to go way back for that and to why I was to where I was 10 years old. And
Wow.
I just loved books. My house was full of books. Both my parents read. All my siblings read books. We went to the library regularly. My mother had a book club that sent books to the house every month. And all my favorite aunts and uncles were school teachers. So I loved reading and writing. When I was 10 years old, instead of asking my mother where babies come from, I asked her where books come from. And she, explained the basic process to me. And then I said, well, what do I have to do so I can make a book? And she said, you have to become a writer. And it was pretty easy for me to do because I loved writing. And it was just one of those things. Well, me and words clicked from the beginning.
Right.
So after that, we lived in this subdivision outside of a larger city in the state where I live. And I started my own newspaper. I was 12. So I would go from neighbor to neighbor and ask them what was new and what was going on and they have any tips. And my mother, who also had her own business, she had one of those old mimeograph machines, the kind of hand crank things.
Yeah.
And I hand cranked out a newsletter for the
Oh my
neighborhood
gosh.
based on the interviews that I did when I knocked on people's doors and barged in as a 12-year-old and said, hey, I want to interview you. So,
That's so funny. What a great
about
idea,
2 years later, the local weekly newspaper contacted my mom, and I was in junior high at the time, and they wanted to know if I'd write a column every week. I was 14, if I would write a column every week about the events going on in my junior high school. Well, that was the first time, one, that I received any payment for writing, two, that I saw my byline in print, and three, that it really, people came around, came, you know, the, it was full cycle.
Yeah.
The full circle of writing came back to me and said, hey, I saw your article in the Clendenin Herald. And I was hooked. I've been doing it ever since. And
That's amazing.
I do not have enough fingers and toes to count all those years since then. So
that's so
that's the
cool.
beginning of how I became a writer and got a journalism degree and then education degree and an MFA in writing popular fiction.
Okay. So you went into journaling then. So
went into journalism first, and that was my second degree. But my first degree was education. My second degree was journalism because I wanted to write. And I went from there to writing about the family business. Again, niche, find your niche. And this is while I was in college, and our family business is ballet school.
Okay.
And I have written over 500 articles and published them a year around the world in dance and theater and fitness. And
Okay.
that is what then from there, I jumped from there into writer wellness when I combined everything that I know about, being physically fit because I was a dancer and a dance teacher. And I went from dance, from ballet to yoga when ballet and I couldn't get along anymore. And so I just put everything together from, interviewing people when I was 12 and 14 years old to, being a yoga teacher and a writer. And that's where, the next stage of my writing life came about, which was my platform of writer wellness, the health
Okay.
and creativity of writers.
Why did that come together so well for you? Like the writers, in your experience, do writers not take care of themselves, or was it because you are a writer and you just sort of wanted to merge those two loves together?
It's a little bit of both, but actually writers I have discovered would take care of themselves if they knew what to do and had the time to do it, if it was organized for them and if it was convenient. because and it didn't take up a whole lot of time or brain cells. And I learned this from the local writers critique group that I was a part of. And you know, where you take 10 copies of your, you know, current work in progress and go to somebody's house and drink wine and everybody else chews up your story.
Yes, always a fun
And the
time.
wine is supposed to make that okay.
Yes.
But
Supposed to
so exactly.
numb
You do get, there's a value in, you know, learning how to, you either grow a thick skin or you get out. So I grew a thick skin. And so I was publishing a lot and raising two young children and homeschooling them for 18 years.
Wow.
So I was publishing all of these in all these trade journals for dance, theater, and fitness, and on a very regular basis. And members of the critique group, because I would take my articles and say, here, what do you think? So make it better for me so I can publish it and send it to the editor, and yada yada. And then several of them said, how are you doing this? How are you getting all this done? And this was a stage where I had not really stepped back and looked at my own process as a writer, a parent, a homeschooling parent. I also taught my kids to write. And you know, and where I wanted to take writing and publishing for myself and for others. So again, it was this full circle of writers coming back to me and saying, "Hey, what? How can you? How are you doing this?" And I said, "Well, I need some time. I'll get back to you and give you that answer." And what I did in that time period was document in my journal, which I'd been doing for way back. I documented my process as the writing person that I was then. And I still do this because it changes, because the world of writing and reading changes. So I document my process in my journals. And I did that then. And when I went back and I said, okay, here's what I have, here's what my day looks like. Here's what my week looks like. And here's, you know, how I set goals, how I stay able to get all this done, which is the way they phrased it. How are you getting all of this done? So that's what I came back to them with. And I came with back with the fact that it may be a lot. Some days it's a lot, some days it's not very much. I journal almost every day. I exercise almost every day. I watch what I eat and I meditate almost every day. And then I also kind of noodle around with things like creative journaling, making, you know, I can't sew or anything like that. I'm not a very crafty person, but I have been able to find creative outlets that don't make me laugh at the final product, because I'm not a doodle, but I can't draw. I mean, don't ask me to draw even a stick person. But anyway, so that's how Writer Wellness came about. More than 20 years ago, writers came to me and ask me for it. And so I just have developed it over the years. And almost, well, virtually everything that I do as a writer and an author, which are different, as a writer and an author, bounces off this writer wellness springboard, if you will.
I think that's pretty amazing because the is especially in the indie world, the independent author world and maybe in all worlds, I don't know, but there seems to be this idea in the last 5 years, especially from the pandemic, of like cranking out as many books as you can, which naturally leads to sitting in your chair a lot and not doing anything else, which has led to a couple, I know at least a handful of authors having a physical breakdown. Like it's not good for you to sit all day long. So is it about like prioritizing exercise and movement, or is it about prioritizing organizing your day, or what have you seen in the last 20 years of how to help authors do it all, I guess?
I feel like the answer to that is more about organization. I love organization, but I cannot find anything. I have all kinds of files and boxes and labels because I organize things a lot. I will eventually find it, but I really think it's organization. And that's where the writer wellness to me is this file for other writers. Even if, and I have a schedule in it, if you just do 5 minutes a day, and pretty
Okay.
soon you get hooked on the 5 minutes of journaling a day, the 5 minutes of exercise a day, it will make a little bit of a difference. So
Okay.
writer wellness to me is an organizational tool. And again, it's a springboard. It's got a lot of ideas, but there's ideas out there everywhere. You know, like big magic, there's ideas out there everywhere. And I love it when people take my basic concept of writer wellness and then adapt it to what works for them.
Sure.
And you're writing, sitting is one of the new cancers. And you have to be very careful about sitting. You have to be careful about watching your schedule. And
Okay.
I use a timer. I set a timer for 55 minutes. I work on whatever, at the desk in the chair for 55 minutes. It goes off. Sometimes I go a little bit over. Sometimes I, wait for 55 minutes, but then I get up and
Okay.
I do whatever it is that needs to be done in that up time, and then I get, go back to the chair and the project.
Right. So it's I guess a little bit of organizing your priorities, right? So we gotta stand up, we gotta be well. I mean, if you want to write books, you gotta be well. It's you can't write in pain. Like I hurt my back 2 years ago and I was flat out on the couch. It's really hard to write a story when you're in pain. Like it's just
This is very true. And there's also such a thing as, emotional pain. And I saw a lot of writers during the pandemic suffer emotional pain to the point where it was and is a big deal. It's just, it was something we didn't have answers to. And writers are people who go after answers. And
Right.
answers are what we use for, coming up with our ideas. So we couldn't get out to find the answers. The answers were not forthcoming. It was difficult to find the answers. I saw a lot of writers spiral downward quickly and not be able to write during the pandemic, because they couldn't get any answers. And,
Right.
the emotional pain is sometimes just as debilitating as the physical. But there's this wonderful benefit to being physically active. It will help you overcome some stress. It will help you cope with some of the emotional pain. I guess writer wellness is, one big coping tool, not
Right.
just physically, but and on the other aspects as well, the creativity,
Yeah.
the writing, all of it.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you bring up the emotional pain as well. That so just for this, when you talk about writer's wellness, you actually wrote a book and a workbook about this in order to so it's not just your local group now that's benefiting from your advice and your experience, but you have a whole book out there that other writers can access and start getting well, I guess.
That's true. And Writer Wellness is the book that came out of the workshop, because from my
Okay.
critique group over 30 years ago, those particular people said, I said to them, would you be willing to try some of my ideas out if I give you this information for zero return in return, except for your critique of my
Okay.
entire program? And we met for 6 weeks, 3 hours a week. And we exercised, we journaled, we did creative play, and so forth. And the first book is dedicated to those four writers that stuck it out, that tried the whole thing and evaluated writer wellness from their perspective and how it worked for them and how they
Wow.
could adapt it for their needs, because they brought different needs to the session. So they
Right.
were invaluable, as far as my critique people for the first program. And yeah, it's been out there a while. The workbook is new because it includes like a guided journal in it.
Oh,
So there
cool.
are exercises for journaling, fitness, relaxation, creative play, and eating right, but there's also a full guided journal in the workbook that gives you a 31-day, and you can, make copies of it, but it's a 31-day guided journal to help you kind of in to incorporate the writer wellness ideas into
Sure.
your daily life, a little bit at a time, like I said, for 31 days, and recorded in this journal, very much like I did when I stepped back and said, "Hey, what
Right.
am I doing?" And
Right.
that's what the workbook partly is all about.
Okay. Do you still do those workshops?
Yes, I do. I do them
Okay.
online for a lot of writing organizations, and I because just before the pandemic, I wanted to experiment with teaching more online and teaching my concepts and not mostly about creativity and writer wellness. So yeah, I teach them online. I teach them at writers' conferences and have the books.
That's very cool. So,
Thank you.
speaking of teaching as well, like other than teaching writer wellness, you got your MFA and you also you teach writing. Where is it that you teach again?
I teach online for the MFA program at Southern New Hampshire University,
Okay.
and I'm an adjunct there, and it's in it's just MFA in creative writing, but the focus there is on writing popular fiction. So
Oh,
all of my
okay.
students are their goal is to write a thesis, which is going to be, a publishable novel in some genre of their interest.
That sounds like a lot of work. Honestly.
The program's really organized very well as far as here are the steps and the material and the content that that you need as a foundation to be a solid writer of popular fiction. The
Okay. So
program's very well organized like that.
is that what you did for your MFA?
I did mine at Seton Hill University in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. One of the best decisions I ever made in my entire life was going to that university for this MFA program. The mentors there were and are exceptional. And what I got out of the program, you get out of what you put in. But I like Seton Hill University was MFA program in writing popular fiction with my focus on historical romance. Was one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life.
That's good to know. That's good to hear. I hear mixed reviews from people who have finished their MFA, so I'm glad to hear that you really enjoyed it and that it was.
I went there because of the focus
Okay.
on writing popular fiction, and
Okay.
they would allow me to niche even further down
Right.
to historical romance.
Yeah, I wonder if that might be the issue with some other universities that seems to be a lot more like literary fiction, which we don't have to go into, but everyone has their opinion on that, right? But yeah, sometimes it's not, they don't allow or they turn their nose up at the niching down of the genre, right?
It's just the focus of the program, and and they have every right to focus and the way that their institution wants to. But Seton Hill University changed my life totally for the better,
That's,
really. In
was
so
that
many
when
ways.
you really started focusing on fiction?
I had written and published fiction before that, but it just it's actually very, listen to me stutter. It's very difficult to explain how life-changing as an author and a writer, the program, which is wonderful, but the people who teach it at Seton Hill University are phenomenal individuals, every one of them. And they just have this concept for the program, and it just turns out I would say a different caliber of popular fiction author. I mean,
Okay.
I was in workshops for 2.5 years. It's low residency, so you go for a week twice a year. And it's very, and the residencies are very intense, but very wonderful, very rewarding. They bring in top-notch authors from all over the world as guests. And my niche And my focus in the program was writing historical fiction, historical romance and fiction. But I was engaged and worked with every genre imaginable out there and every subgenre, and critiqued it and learned about it and read it and, delved as deeply into speculative, blah, blah, spell that, speculative fiction. Can't wait to hear this one. So I've probably gone on a little bit more than I should have about CE,
No,
but
I love the how I feel like sometimes in the writing world, like once you've written as much as you've written already, I've talked to quite a few writers who kind of get an air about ourselves as though we don't need to go learn more. And I always pause and remind people, every other artistry like takes on mentors and takes on classes throughout their entire lives. So there's no reason for us to not do that. It's almost like we get to a certain point and we feel a little ashamed that we're going back to learn more, but it's like th there should be more to learn, right? There should
well, there
be.
is a lot more to learn, and there was a 24-year gap from the end of my journalism degree to when I went for my MFA. And you, like I said, you get out of anything what you put in, and you have to be open-minded. You have to understand that things change every day. I mean, my first newspaper, I was a hand crank mini, on a mimeograph machine. And now I have, more than one blog that, you know how
Goes
they
out instantly to everyone
instantly
around the
magically
world.
appear. My words magically publish compared to, that
Right.
first hand cranked newsletter that I put out
Right.
when I was 10 years old. So 12 years old, I guess. So, I have always had a lifelong learning, appreciation.
Right.
And a lot of people, make the choice to be lifelong learners, and other people don't. That's their prerogative.
True. I would encourage everyone to be at least a lifelong learner of their craft. So, what made you want to start teaching at the MFA program though? Like, why do you want to teach writers with as much as you have going on? Like you're adding one more thing to your plate.
Because so much was offered and given and shared with me over the course of even before going into the MFA. But the MFA was, 50% of it was to enable myself to be able to teach in other MFA creative writing programs, and to give back, to share. Because I got so much from the mentors at Seton Hill, and I just can't say how much I got from them. And I was overwhelmed and overflowing, and it just was an automatic, natural for me to want to take that sensation of gratitude for what I was given and then go out and share it.
Right.
And that's a large part of why I
Yeah.
teach anything. Also, teaching drains me, and hear me out. Teaching drains me of energy, but of knowledge. But I also feel like a vessel every day, and that teaching drains me and allows me to have space so that I can take in something new, like
Interesting.
as a lifelong learner, just look anything from how to update my website to self-publishing, which we
Yeah.
talked about earlier. That's one of those areas I've not even tried yet. But the more I teach, the more space I have. Drain might not be the right word, but it does take a lot out of you. Teachers give a lot, and I was
Yeah.
given a lot, and I feel like, it's one of my ways of being a literary citizen, a good one. And doing and having, good literary karma is to, share as much as I know and possibly can, and then more comes to me. And
That's an interesting way to put it, though. Like, you almost have to drain yourself in order to refill yourself creatively. I think that's a really interesting, that's worth pondering.
a
You
lot of
know,
writers, when they feel drained, feel that they think that being drained, being empty, so to speak, is akin to writer's block. I don't have anything to write about. Well, as long as I have, I mean, my idea of hell is not having pencil and paper. And so as long as I have pencil and paper, then I'm okay. I'm good. I can handle and cope with anything. And I can write in my journal, even when I feel quote unquote empty or drained. And but I do need to get a lot of things out, because if you can't tell already, I have a lot of ideas, and a lot of ideas that I still want to pursue. But there are only so many hours in a day. And also, I love teaching writing because I always find somebody that knows something I don't, and then I get to learn from them. And then also, even, I mean, I used to teach yoga in a college education, in a college phys ed program. And there are former yoga students all over the world now, Germany, South America, lots of cities in the United States that are teaching yoga and got re certified, registered yoga teachers because of taking yoga with me in the college program. And that's rewarding, very rewarding. And it's the same way for me with writing. I love finding other people that are hungry to learn, want to learn, want to be better, have an open mind, will try, and then go out and do it and come back and say, "This worked, Joy. Thank you."
Yeah, that I just think that's a really, really cool way to look at it, and it's a
Thank
different
you.
way than I've heard before. And I mean, honestly, I'm pondering this a lot, and I'm gonna have to ponder it more. But I think the idea of not getting upset about feeling drained or that quote unquote writer's block, but taking the it as an opportunity to refill yourself, however, whatever that looks like, whether it's reading or watching or pursuing speculative fiction.
Thank you. Or doing yoga, or taking a walk, or savoring a cup of tea.
Finding, like, we don't have to always, I don't know, be inside ourselves, right?
The
We
more
can.
I give out, the more I get back, and it's
So
always true.
true. That's true. That's true. Like, it, and why shouldn't we apply that to our writing world?
I'm
So,
kind of hooked on that, and that's exactly where I'm hooked on that feeling of I don't expect things. I don't give things out with expectation. That's wrong place to jump from, at least for me. I give things out without the expectation of anything coming back.
Yeah, and that's how we all should be, right? Like,
Some
that
income
feels
would be
right.
nice occasionally, you know, but
Yes, that's
I
true.
don't sit down and calculate, well, if I do this, how much money will I get back for it? That it maybe it should enter my thought processes more often, but it doesn't.
But it doesn't. So then,
Whoops.
how did this all come into 2022 when you started the My Right Day subscription box? How did that idea come about? I mean, we were at the end of the pandemic. You'd think that you would just want to run outside and, I don't know, like, be outside for a little bit. And you started a new venture.
What I recognized was how even more difficult it was for a lot of writers who weren't used to teaching online like I was, and working online like I was. I recognized that the pandemic, one of the pandemic stumbling blocks for writers was the lack of connection. And we couldn't go to each other's homes as easily, obviously, and critique our work and drink our wine and talk about writing and other writers. So I was just searching for another way to connect with other writers. And the thought occurred to me because I was looking at subscribing to a food service, you know, like that send you recipes and meal ingredients in the mail. I was looking into that as part of the pandemic shopping, and it just went, you know, from that from that exercise of trying to figure out who I was going to buy my meal planning program subscription from. I thought, well, is there anything out there like this for writers? I had seen things like this early on for readers, especially of fiction, and those were really cool. But you know, the things that writers, including me, were used to doing were literally snatched out from underneath us in a matter of days. And I thought, well, what if I, this could be another way for me to connect with writers and readers. A lot of readers become writers, and also a lot of readers want to appreciate writers, even if they don't want to become a writer. So you could learn to appreciate a writer even more. And so my write day just came about as from my thinking, well, how can I, this might be another way on a regular reoccurring basis to connect with other writers. And then I, you know, went into some self-study and took some courses in, because like I just said, I just told you, money is, I mean, I know it's out there, but it's probably one of the things I understand the least besides drawing and art. But so I had to get some help. I had to get some information, had to get some training. And because it's a different world, it's
Yeah, you
I
don't want
have
to
some
lose
experience in
money on it.
retail.
You don't want to pay people to subscribe, right? At least not lose it.
So anyway, I did about a year of self-study, and I just put it out there. And again, it was writers who were friends of mine, you know, signed up and got started, and it's gone from there.
So it, you say it's mostly directed at writers. What does the box include? It says, you know, you source it from writers who are also crafters and artisans. But is the idea focused a lot more on your writer wellness sort of idea? So the box is specifically, I don't know, for journaling, for writers, like what is the idea per box?
There's a little bit of everything from the writer wellness concept in every box, but the focal point of every box is a writing craft book. And many of those writing craft books are high quality self-published writing craft books by other writers. I consider writers crafters, artisans.
Of course.
So there is a new writing craft book in every box. And then on top of that, there's other little things. I don't have one right in front of me. It's in my other workroom, but there will be a journal, a blank journal. So like the one of the boxes will include a guided fitness journal and a set of cute little ballpoint pens. And there'll be a healthy snack, because that falls into the area of nutrition and eating right in writer wellness. So I put a little healthy snack in each one of the box, except at Christmas time. I put in a full sugar, you know, go all the way treat at Christmas time for the that for that box. And let's see what else. Oh, little trinkets or such as enamel pins, collector pins that are shaped like, you know, typewriters or ballpoint pens or books and stuff like that. And a lot of stickers
Fun.
about writing and little stuff like that.
Sort of a motivational box to get, either keep with it or get back to it.
And a connection. Somebody knocks on your door or rings your doorbell and hands you a box of what one of my subscribers has called a treasure trove for writers. And every other month, she, you know, because I send out tracking notifications so they know when their boxes are on the way, because God only knows what kind of routes they're going to take these days to get to people's
That's
places,
true.
but they eventually get there. So far, I've had a lot of good luck with the delivery services. But anyway, it's a connection to the outside world. It's a connection to me and my concepts and my ideas, but it's also, you know, a box of goodies to make you feel good as a writer when you open it.
Yes. And I can see just like there's just something about getting mail, you know, and then if it's related even to what you're working on, your craft, whether you're doing it full time or, you know, as your sort of side job, if you're doing a whole other full time, it's just a bit encouraging, right? To say, okay, yeah, this is there's somebody out there that cares that I'm writing, and this sort
Exactly.
of shows.
Exactly. And here are my ideas to help you keep going, because I don't want you to stop writing, because that's really my foundational, every day. How can I keep someone else writing? And
I
me
love
included.
right. Yeah, all of us. So how do you choose the writing craft books? Are there some that are your favorites that you just want to sort of share with everyone, or how do you choose those?
I like them to be relatively new.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking for new titles. I also know and I'm connected to a lot of writers. And through my MFA program, a lot of students that I went to school with or have met via, forums since, they have self-published some pretty decent writing craft books.
Cool.
So that's how I go. I go out and I look for quality writers that I know about. I look for new books, and I turn to my resource from grad school.
So you're not going to get, I guess, because you don't want people to get the book that they already have that saved the cat on their shelf that's been there for
Which is
forever.
great. It's a great book. And but you're right, it's been out for
Decades. I don't know.
five, six, 7 years. I don't know exactly.
Feel
It's a
like,
great book. My students love it. And but I do want more up to date writing craft books.
I love that idea too of supporting writers who have written craft books. I love that whole idea of sort of coming full circle again as you're supporting those who support you, who this is what we should do, right? So as this goes out, it is the beginning of March. If people are interested in the My Write Day subscription box, is there one going out in March? How it says bi-monthly, so how do they go out?
They go out by the 20th of the month, say January. And the next box is March, April. So you have to be subscribed by March the 10th in order to get the March, April box. And then it progresses from there. And you can subscribe or you can buy one box at a time.
Fun. I love that. Okay. So we'll have the link in the show notes. It's joyeheld.com, but we'll have the link in the show notes. And since this is going out March 4th, y'all have time to go and check it out and subscribe to one or many. I think this is a great idea for present, you know, because these days we all seem to have what we want already or need. Like, you know, this is a very unique gift idea for any writer out there.
I actually got several gift purchases for over at
For
Christmas
the
in December.
Christmas.
I got
Yeah, I
several
think
gift
it's great.
subscriptions, and I just started this box the itself in September. But I got several gift subscriptions from other writers who wanted to give the gift of My Write Day to their writer friends. So yeah, that worked out for several people. Yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So you can also find out more about you at JoyEHealth, right? You can get onto your newsletter, you can find out more about your books, and you can find the writer wellness books and all that at that website.
Correct. Everything will, you can jump off of that one website to everything that I do.
Perfect. So we will have that link in the show notes below. I encourage you guys to go to joyeheld.com and check out everything that Joy has. You've done so much in the last years, and I think you have a lot of information and advice and help to give other writers. They can find your Substack from Joy Eheld as well, right?
Correct.
Okay, because you have a Substack. You just never stop writing, basically.
Well, it'll be no, I never stop writing. You'll
more thorough is it?
know. Actually, my daughters have said that they will, keep up the at least the repeating of the legacy with republishing my work after I'm not able to write myself. So
That's good. Well, maybe we'll have like, yeah, all of our stuff will just get sucked up in AI and we'll all the teaching will keep going. Well, thank you so much, Joy, for coming on and talking to us about your writing journey and the My Write Day subscription box.
you're very welcome. The idea is to be well and write well.
I love that.